Good morning.
Hey, Sarah, if you can hear me, this is going to be the line for the boardroom.
I can hear.
Okay, thanks.
She is a doctor. welcome you all here this morning. Thank you for attending. We're so restricted in the things that we can do. One of the things I wanted to say to you about my prayers is that I don't believe in proselytization. I believe your relationship with God is your own. So my prayers should not be mistaken for an attempt to move you from your religion or to move you to mine. With that being said, if you choose to worship or pray in a different way, please feel free to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we are again coming before you with our hearts open for your guidance, for your wisdom. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our first responders. We pray, Lord, for the Golden Medals families. We pray, Lord, for those who have a political voice. May part of that voice be devoted to the joining together of factions. Lord, we pray for greater wisdom in our decisions. May they be for the community's greatest interest, particularly our constituents. We pray, Lord, that you will guide us in a way to come together as a nation. We all pray also, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Form me the pledge for our next flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, thank you for your attendance today. Item two is public comments. I have before me a request by Clarence J. Henderson to address the board. Mr. Henderson, would you like to stand up and address the board as you concern? State your name, address, and your, where you live, please.
Yes, Clarence J. Henderson, address 2725 John Bell Street. My concern specifically is the Mary Creek right-of-way maintenance extending from Longwood to FM 2351, more specifically on Shock Hill Street near my house. My home sits on Creek. So really maintenance in two parts, scheduled maintenance and then part of our unit fixed Creek. I've lived there 11 years now. I've not seen the right of way, the slow repaired. It's slowly approaching near my property. And then also the scheduled maintenance, the tractor drivers, they don't use the access gate. They drive around it because the slope right there has become so bad, degraded. You know, I've got pictures of them driving around it. And that has only exacerbated the problem. So you got the creek that's falling. Due to my employment, I was gone for the past year. So when I came back, it is what it is. The creek is failing right there. And I can see the slope in my backyard as well. I talked to Mr. Bloomer. I like Mr. Bloomer. I don't know if he's still with the county right there. We and it's been over a year now. I've been gone, but you know, it's to the point now where I just felt I just want to address you guys, let you know that I have a concern with that. I've understood Mr. Bloomer's told me some of the proposals, and they sound like great proposals. I wish we'd follow through with them. Move the creek, get it away, move it out a little bit, straighten it. I mean, water conveyance is what it is. Where it hits that corner right there, it's deep. And it's pushed up. So, you know, I've got a slope in my backyard. It is a slope. There is no doubt about it. What I'm going to do, I don't know. I've dumped up to 6 yards of sand before I left. I'm through dumping sand in my backyard. So,
with you and see what we can get done. And we have to put this on a future agenda. We will.
Okay. And who should I call?
Well,
Lee will be your point.
Lee, I'll call him.
Okay. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Chairman. Do you happen to represent a number of people greater than yourself, or is this just your single view or request?
Yeah, my single concern. I mean, the people that live behind me have the same concern, but it's just me. Not a neighborhood association.
Where does our boundary end? I recall it ending just beyond on the east side of that sewer plant down there.
You're talking about down East Farm Road?
Our eastern boundary on that creek.
Yeah, east west of that, off John Dell Street, that is behind that Bay Fish Bakery or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. So he's without
it. He's on Mary's Creek and not Clear Creek.
I'm just wondering why we didn't get to that when we were doing so much down there on the creek. We did run into the Corps of Engineers and didn't go any further west, east, because of the Corps of Engineers, and we didn't want to go to war with them. But they stopped, let up, and we continued working west. And I'm sure you can see if you go down that creek where it really begins to improve. And it was substantially widened by that effort at that time. I'm not sure why we didn't get that part of it. But you've got a good contact, so that's great. Follow up with him.
Thank you. Moving on to item 3 is the approval of minutes. For our regular meeting of June the 2nd, 2020, make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'm second with that exception.
Motion made. Second, any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes of our executive session meeting on June 18th, 2020. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made. Second, any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Moving on to item 4, approval of checks for the expenses for July and August of 2020. Checks numbers, I make a motion to approve checks numbers 38507 through 38585. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion made. Second, any comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to item 5, new business. A, discussion, consideration, and possible action to accept an order adopting records control schedule, updating the district records management program. Make a motion to accept and, the
schedule.
There was something written out here. I want to make sure.
The records
schedule. Adopting records control schedule document. Is there a second?
I will second.
A motion been made, seconded. And this is a requirement for.
It came from legal. It's just updating our record control schedule.
Okay.
Does this give us a different numbering system?
I don't believe so, no, sir.
Okay. And this document is drawn up by our legal, correct?
Correct.
Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Item B, discussion, consideration, possible action to determine classification of the district pertaining to Senate Bill 2 in regards to the truth and taxation provision. Make a motion that we are declare ourselves or BDD4 a developing district, thus falling under Texas Water Code 49.23603. Make a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. So, my understanding in regards to our attorney is that our rate increase limit is 8% of the tax rate that we have now.
Correct.
Yes, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And our attorney says we are to name ourselves in only one of two choices, either
it was one of
growing or not growing.
It was developing. Developed, or, and I think the other one, I don't know what the official name was, but it was
special taxing
here. Yeah, special taxing, which is under 2 cents.
Which is what?
It was tax rate under 2 cents.
2.5 cents or less. So, but this gives us BDD4 the right to go up 8%. We're not limited of what when our tax rate is given to us by the tax assessor collector. That's not the limit. We still have the authority to go up 8% on that.
Correct.
Is that 2.8% or 8% of?
Tax rate increase limit remains 8%, and exceeding the limit is subject to an election to approve the tax rate.
Okay.
And so forth.
Basically, there's no change.
Right. So if our tax rate is 4.146, which we adopted last year, we can go up a penny. Like that.
Ultimately, that's on average.
Right, whatever she comes back with, exactly. But if we were to use last year's, we could go off a penny.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, any other questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor of adopting, declaring us a developing district, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to item C, discuss consideration possible action to amend the 2019-2020 annual budget. Make a motion we amend the 2019-2020 annual flood control budget in the amount of $4.5 million utilizing funds from reserve monies. Make a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any comments, questions, or concerns? And this money is being used for our land purchases and paying back for the Hurtado project, which we haven't been reimbursed from FEMA.
Yes, we've actually, the district's already made two payments towards the general grant program on McCowell Road improvement project,
right.
Our drainage improvement project.
Right.
We are not sure that we're going to get our reimbursements back before the end of the year. So this allows us to amend the budget now using reserves for amending the budget to allow for if we do not get your reimbursements back in time. So as the reimbursements come back, they will be deposited right back into reserves.
Okay, and I'll clarify, Hurtado project is the McCullough Road project.
Correct.
And we are close amending our budget, which I don't believe we can do, but that's a whole other issue. It's not that we're restricted, but you don't actually amend a budget once you adopt it. To keep us from going in the red by the end of our fiscal year, is that essentially what we're talking about?
That's correct.
Correct.
What would be wrong with us going into the red?
Nothing necessarily.
budget is a budget. I don't think good.
Harrison, do you have any questions?
No, I'm in agreement with it.
Okay. Okay, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Moving on to item six, variance request. Item A, discussion consideration possible action with development plat of Siegenhoff, BDD4, number 20145. Variance request. Christopher Scheffler, immediately west of the intersection of Floyd Road and Hickory Slough. Variance from district rules, regulations, guidelines for the plat from the development of Siegenhoff. Is Mr. Scheffler on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, that's how this works. Fun.
Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Staying healthy, I hope.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm here, quote unquote here, to ask for an exemption in the form of a variance from an easement requirement being levied on our family land, which we're attempting to replat. And we have a single family home on that land. We've owned that land since the mid 70s in our family. And we want to build a new single family home. And so the city has required us to replat because the land was actually annexed by the city in 97. And so through this replatting process, it's now come to DD4. The city's approved our plat, but DD4 is enforcing an easement requirement that will impede the usage of part of our land. So the property in question, I'm sure you all have my variance request in front of you and a map or whatnot, you know where it's at, but it lies along Hickory Slough. That's a drainage that hasn't been changed in decades. And DD4, I understand, is currently pursuing some federal grant money to actually improve that drainage and reroute the overflow aspects of it. So it actually is going to hopefully become an even less relevant drainage than it is right now. But even so, you know, the drainage has functioned fairly well historically, as far as my understanding. It seems to empty fairly quickly. But DD4 is recommending an easement of 85 feet, which would encapsulate almost our entire frontage of our property. We have a 400-foot frontage, and Hickory Slough runs for approximately 200 feet of that frontage. And then an additional 85 feet beyond that would be 285 feet. We would be prohibited from building anything within that easement, and DD4 could, at its own discretion, choose to eliminate our entire tree line or even change the geometry of the bank. We wouldn't even be able to build a fence. Now, that same easement requirement was not enforced on our immediate neighbors, the Post family, in 2013. And I can demonstrate that with an email from Lee Bloomer to Corbett Post saying that they would not have any additional easement requirements, even though the same statutes existed at that time. Now, DD4 has acknowledged that that was a mistake. My contention is that without a contiguous easement to our south, the easement that you're requesting from us is practically useless because the slough makes a turn and turns away from us after our 200-foot section. It's also an asymmetrical application of the statute. You're taking land from one private landowner and not from another at the discretion of DD4 how to enforce that. So I would point out that between Garden Road and Max Road, there are no other easements on Hickory Slough. There's not one that exists at all. Roy Road falls in that same area. And so I do question the importance of the easement being required from us. And also the fairness of asking one taxpayer to relinquish the use of what could be construed as about $40,000 worth of land to serve the rest of the tax base. If it's that important to have it, then in my estimation, then at very least some kind of financial consideration should be given. And I know that there are legal mechanisms in place that allow DD4 to require the easement. But I believe it's unfair, and honestly, I think it's unethical. I contend that if the easement was not free, then I don't think DD4 would be pursuing it at all. It's only because it's free that it's of interest. So by creating an 85-foot wide easement on our property, much of our currently improved property, including several of our structures, would be within the easement. It severely limits our use and enjoyment of a property, and no other landowners on Roy Road or along Hickory Slough in that area currently have those encumbrances. And the fact that Roy Road and Hickory Slough come together on our property is not our fault. And I feel like our family is being punished for that fact, and it's not fair. It's not just. DD4 staff has indicated that they understand and sympathize with our frustration, and they're just doing their job. And I understand that, and I do appreciate their willingness to work with us. You know, they could have tried to enforce a 170-foot easement, and they're not. They've decided to enforce half of that, 85 feet. But we know that our recourse is with the commissioners, and we ask that they consider what is being asked uniquely of our family and the unfairness it represents. And we are willing to work with DD4 to maintain the slough in a safe and acceptable condition. We'll grant access to DD4 on our own property anytime they need it. And we're even willing to help in the maintenance. We're simply asking DD4 to grant us an exemption to the easement requirement because we believe it is unfair burden being placed on our family.
Lee and John Shepard were stating there that we do not have any easement between Makawa and Garden on Hickory Slough. Is that a correct statement?
Between Max and Garden.
And Max and Garden. Okay. I apologize.
That is correct.
We do not have it.
We currently do not have easement in that area.
Has there been development in that area besides the post property that we have elected? So, as development occurs along this portion of Hickory Slough, we will be.
Easements will be required.
Easements will be required. Okay.
I understood the gentleman to say that either his adjoining or certainly within pistol shot, there is a section on which the district, quotes in quotes, has granted a lesser easement than what we're requiring of him. Is that correct?
His neighbor to the, is it the Northley?
South.
South, directly south of him, did not have to provide an easement per previous management when he developed his property in 2013.
What kind of development is there there that caused it to even come up as an issue to us?
It was a single family home that he was platting the property for.
Right. It was the same situation. The city of Fairland requires the platting of the property. The property is not individually been platted.
Oh, this is the city of Fairland as opposed to Brookside.
Correct. This is the city of Fairland.
Did the property owner to the south grant easement for the road?
Yes.
To
my knowledge, I believe additional easement was granted for road purposes. The plat in 2013 for that development never came before the district for review. Before the city, but was never actually submitted to the district for review.
Well, to the board for sure.
Correct. To the board.
And may I also point out that we will be granting we will actually be dedicating the right of way for Roy Road to the city of Pearland. So that's a 40-foot right of way that we are already giving away along our entire frontage. And part of the drainage in question will fall within that right of way.
And this 85-foot that we have proposed, the staff has proposed, is that correct?
Correct, correct. Staff has proposed an 85.
Less than the 170-foot drainage easement that's required under our master drainage plan for years.
That's correct.
So to comply with the master drainage plan, it would require what? Reversion to the original regulation that we have?
Correct. The master drainage plan calls for a total easement width of 170 foot in there. It is excessive on one property at this point because of the existence of the public road right. Typically, that channel section is split between the adjoining properties, but due to the fact of the public roadway, the master drainage plan requires a total 170 foot requirement to be dedicated. Staff feels that is unreasonable. And the compromise, the recommended compromise, is a reduction of requirement to 285 foot. And as Mr. Shepard stated, many portion of that 85 foot will fall into the road right of way.
So we're talking about 45 feet?
No, sir. Ultimately, I would say there would be approximately 60 to 65 foot
available. My math is different from yours.
Yeah, just the way the road lies as it pertains to the creek.
It doesn't totally encompass the road right of way.
It doesn't totally encompass the road right. The road right of way carries over onto the drainage several feet. But it's not all inclusive. The road right of way doesn't.
I don't believe that, and I guess I still question the usefulness of our one little section as well, and I'd like to focus on that, just because the neighbor to the south that was exempted from the easement requirement built a single family home, and if you exacted that same 85-foot easement requirement on his property, the easement would extend all the way to his front door of his brand new house. So I guess I would point out that Drainage District 4 will likely never procure that easement, at least not within the next 50 years, as long as that house is standing. And therefore, since the creek turns away to the east on my property, the little section that I have is uniquely isolated from anything else.
Well, I'm sure you know by now, sir, that if not, I'll let you know that this agreement, so-called agreement with your neighbor, is illegitimate. It was granted by staff, and staff has no power to do that. The staff that we're talking about is no longer with the district. That's not much of a salvation to anybody or a consolation either, but it still happens that this was non-compliant variation, and the board did not act on that.
That's completely understandable, and I understand that it was outside of the scope of what staff was allowed to do. I guess what I'm pointing out is that even though it happened illicitly, it does mean that my little section, I think, is significantly less useful. As the creek turns to the east when it crosses Roy Road, there's a very wide section of creek that was expanded by a private landowner on that side to create a private pond. To my south, there is an easement that, whether it was granted illicitly or not, you will most likely, in my estimation, not pursue. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong. I mean, if y'all do plan to pursue that, then obviously my case holds less water. But if there's not going to be a contiguous easement to my south, and then if to my east, the creek crosses a public thoroughfare and extends onto other private land, I just question the usefulness of the little section that I have to the drainage district. And I contend that if it was not free, it would not be seen as useful enough to pursue. And so I'm just asking for a request that if you see it the same way, that there's not going to be contiguous easement, I don't see the usefulness of pursuing it on my property and exacting it from me and preventing me from using my own property when other people are being allowed to use theirs.
if I may.
But let me throw in something here. I last month when this came up, I felt the need to recuse myself, and I would need to do that again this month. However, I wish that the board could rule on something, and so Mr. Shuffler can go forward.
When you say, Mr. Shuffler, the use of the property, do you have plans for use of this 170-foot or 85-foot?
Yes, sir. We are looking to build a single-family home, and we have one access to our property, and that access would be encapsulated by the 85-foot easement requirement. The entire driveway would be captured, and that was actually by design. Jared looked at that and said that they would need that access for the drainage district to be able to get onto the property. And so if we wanted to have, we currently have a gate there, and city staff or DD4 staff has said that they would have to grant us a encumbrance agreement in order to be able to keep that gate there, and they'd have to have access to it. We would also be prohibited from building a fence, which, you know, we have young children, and we have been looking at building a fence along the easement and leaving enough space to access into it and to clear out anything we need, but at the same time protecting our kids from going down into that creek or people from coming out of it. So yeah, we want to put in a driveway, we want to put in a home. There's a lot we're looking at trying to do.
Allow me, Mr. Shepard, you're planning on building a home within this easement?
We had talked about it, and we haven't decided where it's going to lay, mostly because we don't know how this is going to shake out.
Are you looking for the board to make a decision in regards to easement width so you can continue on with the planning process?
Correct.
Okay.
And obviously, you will also be seeing a drainage plan from us once we have a better idea of where we're allowed to build and what drainage needs to happen.
I'd offer only this much more, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Sever. If the district, and it will, adopt a master drainage plan, I suggest to you that if the easement that is here would be enlarged to comply with that master drainage plan, we have a responsibility, and we have admitted that responsibility to what is called downstream flows. And so whatever is not compliant may very well have to condemn, and the district has that ability to condemn that property. Water flow is becoming a big, big problem, as you know. Harvey taught us a lot of lessons, but it would not. It would just be what's required to condemn the property as much as is needed to comply with the master drainage plan. And with that, I have no further comments.
Well, I understand that, and I appreciate that. And I think that we could have a handshake agreement if that's something in the foreseeable future, that we would not build an expensive home within that area, just so that there's not an expense on DD4 to purchase that said home. And I think we can also all hope that the grant money being applied for gets awarded to DD4 so that the Hickory Slough drainage on our stretch becomes less relevant.
Commissioner, I will add that even if the grant project was to move forward, it does not eliminate this section of the group. The proposal is the high water line.
You telling me it's not necessary to condemn this property to comply with the master drainage plan?
No, sir. I'm saying that the easement is needed. That is what I'm saying. And the fact that improvements are done in the future with a bypass, this area still stays online. It is a significant contributing factor to drainage.
That's my understanding. Thank you.
Basically,
move, I think what staff is indicating to the commissioners to make a decision on, an easement is needed. They are recommending an 85-foot drainage easement. We either go along with that 85-foot, or we come up with a different foot linear, not, well, linear, but also width-wise drainage easement for them to be able to, not today, but in the future, if we're going to get it here, we're going to have to get it other places. And we deviate and we're causing a Pandora's box for other situations down the road.
Commissioners, if I can only add just one comment. The resident that was in a few minutes ago with a public request to do improvement on the O'Leary Street channel. Here, Sean Felton, there is not the biggest problem in that area, and the reason the district is unable to make improvements there is we're significantly restricted by right of way and easement in that area. The only way improvements can be made to that section of the channel is acquiring additional private. I bring that to relevance in this instance. Easements are needed throughout our district. And we get ourselves into a situation where we cannot improve these channels to the condition.
Well, it seems like when this was a good old boy district, there was a lot of those things that are becoming apparent now, where agreements were made that were, in fact, illegal and illegitimate. So we're going to have to work ourselves out of it.
I do not oppose easements. I do not. I'm giving the Pearland the right of way to the road. You know, I think that there are things that are necessary. I guess what I would ask even the staff of DD4 to focus on is the utility of that one little section. I think its uniqueness does not necessarily open a Pandora's box, because it's defensible to say that due to previous errors and due to the unique location of this section, that an easement is not necessary because it will not be acted in. And I understand if a recommendation is made otherwise, but I just, I guess I still contend that DD4 will not pursue the Post family for an easement on their property in retrospect, and therefore our property remains unique.
Staff approached Mr. Shepler in regards to working with him in regards to an access point, be it his driveway and our access, that the district may, in lieu of him granting the easement, us getting a better access point at that point on Hickory Slough for work to be done, improving his driveway, improving our access?
We have not. I don't believe that's come up.
That is correct. We have not discussed those measures. What was discussed is the existing driveway access would fall within the drainage easement, thus requiring an encroachment agreement for the continuation of driveway in that area. District staff did work with the property owner as it pertains to getting with the board, getting an encroachment agreement together for that area, as well as potentially assisting in the improvement of that access for that of the district and the property owner as well, if needed, if it's beneficial. But once again, I think the importance is on the easement.
Right, I understand that. The importance is on the easement, but for us to utilize the easement, we're going to be able to need this access point to get to this portion of the easement, correct?
Correct.
And well, I'm trying to work with Mr. Shepler and the district to make sure the district gets what it needs. Mr. Shepler's going to be
gaining something also that we're going to be able to use, he's going to be able to use, but it's beneficial to both.
And absolutely, staff is, the loss board is not going to do that. District staff has worked with the property owner on improving the access there to the benefit of the property as well as the district.
So there's some more alternatives that are possible.
I'm sorry, Dan.
Are there more alternatives, is what I hear, that are possible? If there is.
From what I'm understanding is that this basically is an assistance with the driveway improvements if the easement was to be granted.
Table this issue.
I'll second the motion in regards to tabling the issue if, or as we instruct staff to come up with a resolution to the 85 foot and a driveway or accessible agreement with Mr. Scheffler, I mean, in writing, stuff like that.
Commissioners, I would add this.
Or whoever.
This item has been tabled once already, thus postponing the property owner's ability to develop this property by 1 month already. The tabling of this item will postpone him being able to move forward at all for an additional month. I just throw that out as information. I know the property owner is very actively looking for approval so he can move forward with his building up his so a table motion would at this point deter him.
Well, not necessarily. If it's urgent, could call a special meeting anytime.
But I made the motion for the 85 foot and I didn't get a second last month, so. Kind of in a catch-22 situation.
Well, there was, I'm not sure if the motion for the 85 foot was made the last one because we didn't have
that. Well, I did.
It was just a denial of the initial request.
The variance was written differently last month. So this month it gives you the ability to grant any easement that y'all deem fit. If Mr. Scheffler doesn't agree with it, he can pose another variance next month.
And 85 is our minimum.
85 is the staff recommended.
85 is the staff recommendation. Master drainage plan calls for 107.
Master drainage plan calls for 107. If you grant a minimum easement width of 85 today, Mr. Scheffler does have the option to come back next month if he doesn't agree with it or would like to counter it. With another variance request at that time. I just say that because it would allow potentially the development to move forward if the owner decides to see the.
I'll also point out that my original variance request was to ask for a 30-foot easement measured from the center of stream and an additional 20-foot access easements for a total of 50 feet instead of 85, which would basically encapsulate the entire existing channel and then 20 feet of level ground that extends onto our own property. But that would not encompass any of our non-portable structures, any of our permanent structures on our property. It gives the drainage district the 20 feet of access that they have told me that they require and need, and it also gives them the entire existing channel. In my mind, it would also prevent any major changes to the bank, which is one of the things that I am worried about, and it would prevent the clear cutting of the entire tree line, which is one of the things that I am worried about. Pruning and maintenance would be very accessible and very feasible, but I was informed that it seemed like that was not going to be an acceptable offer, but I wanted to bring it back up.
I'll make a motion that we go with the 85-foot recommended by staff drainage easement in lieu and work with Mr. Scheffler in regards to access and driveway easement for the benefit of both Mr. Scheffler and the district for future maintenance purposes.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, I'll accept an amendment to my motion to table. But you have that motion before you. You must get rid of it first.
Okay, all in favor indicate this table in the issue, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
I vote no. Harrison, you're recusing yourself from this, is that correct?
Yeah, I did that last month, and I really can't change again this month, so I would still need to recuse myself. Sorry.
I believe that leaves us at an impasse in regards to the tabling.
Can I ask Commissioner Harrison if the question of tabling actually poses a conflict of interest or not, because we're not voting on whether or not to to grant an easement, just to discuss it or to table it.
That's probably true, but the motion to table with one vote for, one vote against, that means that that motion did not pass, isn't that correct?
Well, it's an impasse. We don't know
whether
it passed.
The motion is dead.
Right. The motion did not pass.
Right.
That's the way I understand it.
Right. So I can offer an alternative motion. My alternative motion is that we go with the 85-foot drain achievement recommended by staff, and that staff work with Mr. Scheffler in regards to an access agreement and driveway for the beneficial purposes of not only the district, but Mr. Scheffler. Is there a second? Hearing no second, motion fails. We're at an impasse, gentlemen. I would ask staff to continue to work with Mr. Scheffler and see if we can come up with a resolution to this issue for the board. Okay.
Can I request that this item be added to the August agenda?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time and effort in this.
Thank you. Item B is discussion, consideration, and possible action. Clover Skies, Lot 14, BD4, number 19177, variance request. Antonius, excuse my pronunciation of his last name. I will forego without being offensive. Lot 14 at Pearland Regional Airport near Cowards Creek. Variance request to develop Lot 14 of Clover Skies without any requirement to provide additional detention capacity. Make a motion to deny. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Jared, you want to give us an idea of what we're looking for?
Yeah, so the lot in question is shown in sheet 25 of your packets. That yellow outlined area is the lot. in question where the applicant is attempting or trying to get approval to build a hangar. That general area, I don't have all the history on it, but I can generally say that there seems to be some development that's occurred out there without the requisite amount of detention. And I don't want to put words into Mr. Antonios's mouth, but the tone or the gist of his request is, well, y'all let all these other people build hangars without detention. I'd like to do the same thing. Staff and I have looked at this project. We can't support a decision to waive the detention requirement. Moreover, there are known issues with the minimal detention that's out there that serves this cluster of hangars. And also the most recent plan that came to the district never came before the board, but apparently at a staff level, the most recent hangar was constructed without detention, even though the plan seems to indicate a deficit of detention capacity. So it's our recommendation that this request be denied.
We have denied it. However, I still have a question on that. The rest of that property, am I hearing that there is no detention for the rest of them, or that the detention that is there is inadequate?
There's a token amount of detention out there, which is nowhere close to our current requirement. The most recent plan that we found, that I don't believe ever came before this board, showed a deficient shortage of detention. And it made a loose reference to some kind of a agreement with previous staff, and somehow this project got permitted and constructed the previous hangar or most recent hangar.
Is there not detention for the whole airport out there for the run?
There is some detention out there, but the pond I'm speaking of is
right.
Planned
right.
Southeast of that yellow square.
I understand that.
And it's a depression in the ground that's very small in footprint. In addition to the fact that it doesn't really have a proper outfall, it was overgrown. They did go out there and mow it. It's not draining properly. There's a host of issues there. On top of that, this applicant doesn't own or have legal use of that pond, to the best of my knowledge. So I don't really have any good answers for this gentleman, but I don't support waiving the detention requirement.
Are you telling us the pond is owned by a different person?
That's what the tax records reflect. Yes, sir.
But I do recall that I thought this district did approve detention plans or plans for the actual airport, like runway and stuff like that, in the past. Have we not?
There is detention elsewhere in the airport, yes. And there is a master drainage plan for the airport, which is currently being looked at. Staff and I have had some fairly recent meetings with Stephen Alexander, who represents the airport, and they have an interest in improving the status quo out there with regard to drainage and that sort of thing. That updated drainage study is underway, but I haven't seen anything just yet. But there is not a one regional detention pond that serves the entire airport or anything close to that.
So is the master drainage plan that Mr. Alexander is working on encompass these little hangar areas?
As I understand it, they're looking to assess the drainage on the airport property and come up with solutions to make drainage and detention better long term. But I haven't seen any specific recommendations yet.
So I would presume from the research of the staff that each one of these hangars is individually owned and not owned by a airport corporation. Is that correct?
That's correct. These are privately owned hangars, as far as I'm aware.
So it's not like Intercontinental Airport or Hobby Airport, where you have one entity holding and controlling the whole thing, and then they're kind of the overseers or make sure everything is done accordingly.
Yeah, the airport may own some property of their own, but there is a lot of property based on limited research that's privately held within the boundary of the airport.
So in other words, the correct definition is this is a hodgepodge.
That's a pretty good way to frame it.
How much would it take for us to make a rough determination of how much property is needed to correct this whole mess?
The localized area that we're speaking of, these 17 or so hangars, the previous engineer that drew up a plan made reference to about 5 or 6 acre feet of shortage previous to this request. So they need something on the order of 6 to 7 acre feet, I'm guessing, and that wouldn't include these additional parcels that haven't yet been developed.
So we're talking about, you just said that that doesn't include.
I would guess 1 acre to 2 acres to get a requisite amount of detention. This is up against Coward Creek, which has fairly good depth, but it's not a 10,000 square foot kind of footprint for sure.
This well in the ground is not a detention system, is that correct? It doesn't have proper drainage from it.
It certainly doesn't meet our current.
You could identify it as a detention pond.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't meet our current criteria. I wasn't here when it was first built. I think it was their intent to put in a proper pond, but what's out there today is substandard to our current criteria for sure.
At some point or another, they're going to have to comply.
It's a bit of a mess to the extent that there are multiple owners out there, most of whom already got the impervious cover on the ground, so I don't know that they're inclined to pitch in and help out. So it's going to be messy getting us cleaned up.
Maybe.
Yeah, they're starting short of detention already, and then, like Jared said, they're still available properties to add other hangars, so the issue would only get worse and worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is our position, Mr. Chairman.
I'm just trying to figure out I'm going to go with denying the motion. I'm just trying to find out how this district can approach by saying we're not going to allow 17 more little ponds out there or 17 more hangar spots.
We can agree that one or two larger facilities is preferable to little frog ponds, as we like to call them, but frog ponds are better than no ponds at all.
Correct. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying...
The challenge here is you have a bunch of individual landowners that just kind of want to do what they want to do. The other observation is recurring theme for the day, if you will, is that other guy didn't have to do it. Why should I have to do it? And I don't know how doubling down on that is going to do anything but make it worse on us.
Yeah.
But did I understand you correctly, Jared, that there is a master drainage plan that exists, but it's just not been complied with, that would cover all of this?
I've seen a master drainage report for the airport, and I haven't reviewed it cover to cover, but yes, there was a study done I don't necessarily know that it made specific recommendations for all these privately held properties. And I haven't had any updates from Mr. Alexander other than that they had retained the services of an engineering firm and they're working on an updated study.
I thought recently we just approved a plat or a plan for that area on the other side.
A plat, yes, sir. Over kind of to the northeast part of the airport.
But they haven't brought us a drainage plan?
Not yet, no, sir.
All right. Motion on the table to deny. All in favor of the agenda, say aye.
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 Moving on to item C, discussion consideration possible action. LP GPC BDD4 number 20144, variance request ProServe on County Road 132, just west of County Road 128, to allow a temporary encroachment of a portion of an existing building within the drainage easement is defined by the standard district consent to encroach agreement and authorize the chairman to sign said agreement. Make a motion to approve. There a second? I hear a second.
Second.
What are we approving here?
So, sheet 33 in your packet, page 33, shows the requisite ultimate easement for Coward Creek, and that's the red line that's depicted on the plat. And you also see on the same exhibit two small side-by-side green rectangles that are modular units that were brought in fairly recently and now have a single roof that's been constructed over the top of those to join them together. And that small little pink hatched area represents the encroachment on the ultimate easement. So basically what's happened here is the owner recently acquired this property without the knowledge of the easement. They brought in the modular units. They revised the requirement to do a plat. We then advised them of the requirement for the easement. They're willing to dedicate the easement, but they don't want to have to bear the cost of having to relocate these two units. This is a very minor encroachment, and the attorney will prepare an encroachment agreement. Among other things, the owner is aware that if and when the district deems it necessary to relocate these two units, that will occur. So based on all of the facts of this, we've met on site. We're recommending approval of this request.
And the owner knows not to build anything more into the easement.
Well, they won't be able to because they're going to grant the 145 foot easement.
But yes, they
their plat is later on the agenda.
I move the previous motion, Mr. Chair.
All in favor of the case saying aye?
Aye.
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 Item D is discussion consideration of possible action surface water treatment plant, City of Fairland, BDD4, number 19195, variance request, Freeze Nichols Inc., on Mustang Bio, near County Road 48. Variance request to allow the outfall pipe to be 6 inches above the static water surface elevation instead of the required 12 inches. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second. Second.
Motion been made and seconded. This goes back to our rules and regulations requiring a 12-inch outfall, correct, above the water line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, 12 inches above the static water level and the flow line of the ditch. When this rule was written, I think it was more so targeted at ditches that kind of have a tendency to get silted in and you end up with the downstream end of your outlet kind of in the ground, so to speak. This is in Mustang Bayou, where the static water level is very consistent and predictable. And I've taken a look at this. I don't have any problem supporting a board decision to approve this variance request.
Is there any hydrological data that would show that the rising of Mustang Bayou would back up into this detention pond?
Well, the other thing is the design of the pond, because the outfall pipe is rather long, there's 6 inches or more of fall. So even if we did have a little bit of backup, it would be limited to the basin itself and unlikely to back up into the basin.
Okay. That clarifies my question then.
But it would not preclude the drainage of the pond.
Until the pond goes down. I mean, until the Mustang goes down.
Well, when you get a high rainwater event, you're going to have static pressure in the basin that would push it out into the creek.
Jared, just for my information, is there a difference between a 12-inch set at 12-inch versus 2 6s?
Well, you
require 12 inches, right?
Your criteria says when you come into the ditch, you typically have a 24-inch or larger outfall pipe, and it's occasionally choked or restricted. You wouldn't typically allow someone to come into your ditch with a 6 or a 12-inch pipe to begin with. But I appreciate where you're coming from there. You know, two smaller pipes, 6 inches higher, would be something similar in terms of flow capacity. Unfortunately, it doesn't meet the requirement, the minimum diameter requirement for an outfall.
Any other questions? All in favor of granting the variance, indicate by saying aye.
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 Moving on to item E, discuss consideration of possible action. Charleston Ultimate Detention BDD 4, number 20149, variance request, Odyssey Engineering Group, north side of State Highway 6, on the western boundary of BDD 4, approving only the portion within BDD 4 jurisdiction. The variance request is to allow a grass line emergency overflow swale as opposed to the required concrete line swale. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second? Again, is there a second? Okay, motion been made and seconded. Hey, again, this is our rules ask for grass line, I mean concrete. They're proposing grass line.
Yes, Commissioner. Sheet 42 in your packet shows an exhibit of what we're discussing today. The standard district detail for a extreme event overflow swale is 6-to-1 side slopes and concrete lined. The exhibit shows up against Highway 6 the alignment of the emergency overflow going to Highway 6. The property owner does not own that frontage up against Highway 6, and they're constrained by a 25-foot storm sewer easement and drainage easement. So they cannot, geometrically, they cannot achieve the 6-to-1 slopes because of those limitations. And they're asking to go from a 6-to-1 to a slightly steeper 4-to-1 slope, grass line, which is what the easement allows them to do. This doesn't drain into a district facility, so I have no problem supporting this request.
This is going to be draining into Highway 6 then?
Yes.
Correct? Have they got approval from the
yes,
Highway
sir.
Department?
In fact, the connection's already been made. It's already been constructed.
Okay.
So who owns this piece of land?
So the developer has this bit where the lots are shown on sheet 42, but the frontage up against the highway, they do not own that. I'm assuming that'll be future commercial property, is my guess.
Hey, all in favor of the keep saying aye? Aye.
Aye.
Moving on to item F, discussion consideration of possible action. Some odds and
stuff. Estates, BDD 4, number 19183, variance request. Blake's Mothcla, 2644 Miller Ranch Road, variance request to allow temporary encroachment of a fence within the drainage easement as defined by the standard district consent to encroach agreement and authorize chairman to sign said agreement. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
No second.
Motion been made, seconded. I presume this is on Hickory Slough, or is this on the pond?
No, this is on Hickory Slough.
Okay.
The district has drainage easement along Hickory Slough. Mr. Zalka actually owns the adjacent property with Sam Pitt beside it. He's requesting, actually, let me back up. Mr. Smigalka dedicated an easement to the district here a couple months or so ago. He's requesting to place a fence encroachment upon the drainage. Currently, there's about a 30 foot wide maintenance berm in there. The district is now utilizing to maintain the channel. His request would be to encroach approximately 8 foot into the drainage with a fence.
What kind of fence?
What's that?
What kind of fence?
I'm not sure. He did not clarify. I'm not sure if it's a field type fence or just a chain link fence. His purpose is safety for his wife and daughter. They go jogging in the early mornings around their pond facility. He fully understands that it is at risk, and at any time the district deems necessary to reclaim that section of easement, he's fully aware that it's all on his cost and 100% they're at risk.
And that's all included in his signed letter that he sent to the district.
And as well, that would all be spelled out within the encroachment agreement.
Correct.
Do we have enough room for our equipment to get in there in the difference of the...
Yes, sir, we did.
Okay.
His staff worked with Mr. Medalka in this area. He was originally asking for a little more than this. We actually had staff go out, do some field surveying, and see what the district could do in cooperation with the property owners to reach a beneficial agreement for the most part. And that's resulting in the 8 foot
This letter you speak of is his understanding of the agreement, in as much as he will have to move it whenever we say. Abandon it whenever we say?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay, I don't have a problem with this, Mr. Chairman, as long as his understanding of this issue is attached to the agreement itself and make a part of it.
I've got another question. Are there any reason or need for us to have any gates placed in the fence area for us to get access into or out of?
There is not.
Okay.
There's currently, the district has already installed gates on the limits of the property. Well, and ultimately, we would not need access within this.
Okay. And we have access to Hickory Slough in this area.
We have ingress and egress on that property.
I'm sorry?
We currently have ingress and egress on that piece of property.
It was a very critical area for the district in a couple
months. Okay. Okay. All in favor of your statement, better. Yeah, I think I got one in my packet. Okay, all in favor of the hit saying aye.
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 Okay, moving on to item G, variance request. Discussion consideration of possible action, Del Bello Lakes, BDD 4, number 19203, variance request, LJ Engineering, between Future Mantle Parkway and State Highway 288, west of the American Canal. First variance request is to allow the outfall pipe to be 6 inches above the static water surface elevation instead of the required 12 inch. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Is this going to be in three parts?
I mean, I'd make it all in one, or?
I don't know.
I was just going to go with each one.
Yeah.
Make a clarification. Again, I'll make a motion for the first variance request. Is there a second?
Why is he asking for this?
Is there a second? I need a second.
I'll second.
Again, this goes back to the 6 inches to 12 inches, Jerry.
Right. This is the same variance request we just discussed with the Mustang Bayou surface water treatment plant. But the quick answer to your question is previous staff approved the overall master drainage report for this development, and it was all it all hinged on an understanding that this was going to be okay, this 6-inch requirement was going to be okay. With regard to the other comment, we the district now have a variance request form, which we've asked people to fill out because we weren't getting kind of the pieces of the request. So that's the reason we've compartmentalized these by request form to make things a little more easy.
Thank you, Adrian.
Okay. Do you have any other questions in regards to variance request number one? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Variance request number two, to allow grass line emergency overflow swale as opposed to the required concrete line swale. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. Is there any difference in the slope of this?
No, sir. This is the development, which I'm going to say is roughly half done. Again, based on prior staff's approval of various sections, they haven't done any concrete lined extreme event overflow swales in that development, and they're asking to proceed in that same manner on a go forward basis. None of these overflow swales discharge directly into a district facility, so I don't have any problem supporting this request.
This is all within their jurisdiction then.
Right, into their basins, out of their basins, and that sort of thing.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No.
Variance request number three, the reduction of maintenance berm width from the required 30 foot to 20 foot. Make a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. I presume this variance request on the maintenance berms of the detention ponds or on our on adjacent.
That's correct. These are the detention ponds within the Del Bello development that will be maintained by the Mud District.
Any other questions?
Do we know who's going to maintain this after?
The Mud District.
The Mud District, after the Mud District doesn't exist? We don't.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
I think Dan brings up a good point for future stuff for us, our district to be starting to look at these Mud Districts that are coming to an end. Find out what kind of agreements are out there, or variances have been granted, or how these ponds are going to be maintained, and start getting agreements with either their homeowners associations or something like that on how these things will be maintained in the future. But I know some of these, Silver Lake for one, is coming to a point, if their muds aren't already paid off or closing up, they're pretty close to it. Southdown, we don't have to worry about, the city of Pearland took that over, correct?
Correct.
So, I think that would be of interest to the district to start looking at that. We'll just give it to Adrian. He doesn't have anything else to do.
We're continuing to make notes in the margin, if you will, in the rules and regulations for a future workshop, and I think that's something we could add as a talking point to consider for a future update to the regulations.
Yeah, unless it's grand to us, but we already have policies and procedures if they're going to grant it to us.
And one last thing I'd add on this, as Jared mentioned on previous two variance requests for this development, this is following suit with what they've already been allowed to do in the previous section of the development.
Okay. All in favor of
granting the maintenance, the reduction of the maintenance firm, indicating the same aye. Aye.
Aye.
No.
Moving on to item H under variance request, discuss consideration of possible action, County Road 190 bridge replacement, variance request, IEA Inc. on County Road 190 near the intersection of County Road 383. Variance request is for reduction of the low court requirement relative to the 100 year water surface elevation. Make a motion, we open this for discussion. Is there a second?
Oh, I'm second.
So
what do we have here, Jerry?
So this is a county road bridge where they're looking to do a bridge replacement. Initially, it looked like a fairly simple request whereby they were asking not to be forced to elevate the bridge to meet the low chord requirement. After we got to looking at it more closely, this is a complex thing, mostly related to the fact that the current ditch is kind of offset from where the ultimate ditch needs to be, and it's also in close proximity to a railroad trestle. And the long and short of it is, staff is not ready to make any recommendations at this time. We want to go back and meet with the county again and see if we can kind of work through some of those issues and come back with a better overall solution to this general alignment of the creek and the various crossings in the area. So we're not ready to really to do anything at this time.
We've reached out to the county and they have not returned our call, so we haven't discussed this thoroughly, so we can't recommend approving it at this point.
Correct.
They had already officially submitted this variance, so we felt like it needed to be on the agenda, but we haven't had enough conversation about it yet.
What do we know about their reasons for wanting us to grant this variance?
The floodwaters, I'm going to generalize, would be something like 2 to 3 foot above the surface of that roadway. So you're dealing with a T intersection that goes east-west and also north-south. And if you were to meet that one requirement of the district, you'd have completely flooded roads, and then you'd have this bridge that did like this to get across the top of the creek. And I'm not necessarily saying we don't need to elevate the low quarter of the bridge, but there's more to it than that one thing, and we need to visit with the county and come up with a better overall solution to getting that bridge replaced.
So this is a T intersection, in my understanding.
Yeah, 190 runs east-west, just south of the railroad, and then I think it's 383 that comes from the south.
Correct. It dead ends into 190.
Correct.
The bridge is immediately adjacent. One of the biggest issues that staff needs to grant is proposing to replace and build a brand new bridge at a substantially much smaller criteria than what our master calls. The bridge that's in there allows for a current 16-year level of that pass through there. They're basically hoping to duplicate that. This is one of the areas that our master drain.
So they're just going to repair an existing monster.
They're going to replace an existing monster.
Okay.
With a brand new bridge. That if the district gets to the point where you can make improvements in that area, it would become the burden involved of the district to replace
a brand new bridge structure.
So that was the reason that staff is recommending to deny this initial variance request, allowing staff and county to get together and come up with some better ideas of how to work each of the best.
In the interest of expediency, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we table this action.
Right, I'm going to amend my motion that we table this variance request from the county for 190 and 383 and allow staff to discuss with the county to
come up with a another solution to this.
Yeah, I was just going to say until we get more information to where we can really make a decision, but whatever.
So my motion's been amended. Motion's been made and seconded to table this. All in favor of the date saying aye?
Aye.
Moving on to item I, variance request, discussion consideration of possible action, County Road 58 from Savannah Develop to County Road 48, Brazoria County, BDD 4, number 19142, variance request, McDonough Engineering Corporation, County Road 58 from Savannah Development to County Road. The variance request is to allow a 3-to-1 pond side slope as opposed to the required 4-to-1. Make the motion to approve. There a second?
Second.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. Jared, what do we have here?
Okay, so you may recall we've had other discussions relative to this project. This is the section of County Road 58 that's basically the south frontage of Lindale Estates. The project, as I understand it, is a TxDOT funded project, and TxDOT has mandated or dictated that any wet pond has to have a minimum of 6 feet of static water depth. You cannot achieve that geometry with a 4-to-1 slope within the space that they have to work. So they've come back requesting a 3-to-1 slope. I would just generally say that staff and I are not wild about this request, but we don't see another solution or a better solution. And also, it's my understanding that although DD4 has been approached about mowing this facility, they have not and will not agree to bank repairs and the like in that facility.
So this facility is for the county road improvements from 48 West, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And this is being funded by both Brazoria County and TxDOT.
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
And this is supposed to be a wet pond for aesthetic pleasing purposes?
Well, they can't, they're challenged to get the amount of volume that they need. And one of the ways to get a little more volume is to go with a wet basin, because you're basically designing a flat bottom dry basin. And you can get a little more volume that way. And they've squeezed every little bit of volume they can anywhere else they can, but the reality is they can't hit a 4-to-1 and still get the volume they need.
And, of course, we don't have an agreement before us today in regards to mowing or not mowing, but if we're going to mow, we're going to need 4-to-1, or can we work with 3-to-1 if that's going to be approached, presented to us in a future agenda item?
Correct. The district can work with 3-to-1 side slopes. It's not preferred. The early conversations that staff had with the county on this particular project, as Jared mentioned, the site is extremely small. They're trying to squeeze 10,000 spaces in a 9-mile stack. Initially, we're in conversations with the county about doing an interlocal agreement that will encompass all of the pond that the district currently maintains for the county. District has, part of our stance on this particular pond is that the district would not take ownership of this pond. The district would consider working with the county and providing mowing maintenance, but in allowing the 3-to-1 side slopes, the county will be fully aware that there is potential for increased bank maintenance, and those responsibilities would be on the county. County would theoretically retain ownership of the pond, be responsible for any type of erosion on the banks. The district would still assist with the county on the mowing. But once again, this is an interlocal agreement that is in the works down the road. Nothing has been agreed to.
Has the district, has the county taken over ownership of those ponds?
Well, they currently own the ponds. As of right now, this pond has not been constructed yet. This is a proposed condition. But the district is currently mowing and maintaining some county pond, which place, but we don't have an interlocal agreement putting everything, spelling everything out. So what we're working collectively to do prior to COVID-19 is and working together and identifying all these ponds where these handshake agreements exist and getting an agreement together so that we can consolidate all the ponds.
And this is because there was no air to those ponds when the subdivision shut down?
No, these are truly county owned ponds. These are ponds that were put in place for road widening projects, road improvement projects. Just as this one, this is a County Road 58 road improvement project. This pond is mitigating the road improvement. So the county is purchasing real estate to develop these ponds and asking the district to assist in.
How much maintenance berm is going to be on top of this 3-to-1 or 4-to-1 size slope?
This particular pond is going to have 20-foot maintenance. That was another area of challenge. This particular county came to the board here a few months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, requesting a variance to reduce the berm width from 30 to 20 because the pond is going to be adjacent to a couple of public roads, county roads down there. Hence the requirement of a 30-foot maintenance berm because the site is so limited. They were granted a variance by the board to go 20-foot maintenance berms all the way around the pond.
How much freeboard is going to be on that 3-to-1 side slope?
Freeboard?
Yeah.
It's going to meet or exceed our district requirement. They haven't requested a deviation from the district's freeboard requirement.
But the pond is six
elevation.
Yeah, I mean it's 6 foot deep of water, correct? So we're gonna have 2 foot or 4 foot or
you talking about the dry storage depth?
Yes.
I'm gonna say it's in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 feet, but I'd have to go back and check their plan.
Looks like 3 feet on the drawing.
But we maintain both sides of the berm and the top, right?
Yes, sir.
And is this outfalling into County Road 58 then?
No, the pond kind of becomes the roadside ditch, if you will. It's adjacent to the roadway. There's no separate roadside ditch where this pond fronts on the expanded roadway.
So, when the road, the sheet flow from the road goes into the pond, correct?
It's showing a curb and gutter cross section on sheet 67.
Right, I'm looking at it.
So it's not going to shed directly off into the pond. It's supposed to be
right, curb and gutter into the pond.
Yes.
Then where does it go
the
out?
Outfall.
Where's the outfall?
The outfall 48
or 3. Does it go
with the outfall from the pond?
Some of that water goes to the Dan Sips ditch, I think it's called, to the south, but not all of it. I think it's split, where some goes towards 48, some goes towards Dan Sips.
Well, ultimately, the proposed pond is on the corner at the intersection of County 48 and 58. So currently, the deepest ditch is County Road 48, but potentially, with this project, it may outfall into County Road 58. It will outfall into one or the other roadside ditch.
So this pond is going to have to be, would that be the southwest corner of that then?
It's the northwest corner of the intersection, directly across the street from Don Jeter Elementary. It's that open lot.
They're storing asphalt. Okay.
Yes.
All in favor of granting a 3-to-1 side slope variance, indicate by saying aye.
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 All right, moving on to item 7, plats and plans. Item A, discussion consideration possible action, Cullen RV Resort BDD 4 number 19105, final drainage plan, in architectural group, southwest corner of Bailey and Joe Drive. Item B is discussion consideration possible action, commercial building BDD 4 number 20159, final drainage plan, AL and B Engineering Services LLC, 8194 County Road 128. Item C is discussion consideration possible action, LP GPC BDD 4 number 20144, final plat pro serve on County Road 132, West County Road 128. Item D is discussion consideration and possible action, shops at Sedona BDD 4 number 19199. Final drainage plan, Heights Engineering, LLC, Northwest Intersection, County Road 101 and 94. Item E is discussion consideration possible action, Manville Town Center, Wastewater Treatment Plant, Phase 1, BDD 4, number 18141, final drainage plan, BGE, Northwest of Intersection of State Highway 288 and State Highway 6, the future Manville Town Center development. Item F is discussion consideration possible action, Charleston Ultimate Detention, BDD 4, number 20149, final drainage plan, Odyssey Engineering Group, north side of State Highway 6, on the western boundary of BDD 4. We're only approving portions within BDD 4 jurisdiction. Item G is discussion, consideration, possible action, proponent of wastewater treatment plant phase 3, BDD 4, number 19201, final drainage plan, LJ Engineering, Inc., located near Croy Parkway Bridge, at the south side of Mustang Bio within Pomona development. Item H is discussion consideration possible action surface water treatment plant, City of Pearland, BDD 4, number 19195. Final drainage plan, Freeze and Nichols, Inc. on Mustang Bio, North County Road 48. Item I, discussion consideration possible action, Manville Town Center Water Plant, BDD 4, number 19181 53. Final drainage plan, BGE, Inc. at Northwest Intersection of State Highway 288, State Highway 6, and the future Manville Town Center. And item J is discussion consideration possible action, Forest States, BDD 4, number 20168, final plat, Survey 1, Inc., 7946 Moore Road, west of Railroad, north of County Road 100. Motion been made. Is there a second?
I'm second.
Made. Jared, what do we have?
All right, item 7A is the fill plan for the Cullen RV Resort. This plan is for the placement of fill. No impervious cover is proposed. If you look on sheet 69 of your packet, that depicts RV slots and detention, all that's previously proved development. The only thing proposed here is to clean up some low areas that's plan east on this drawing to get rid of some little bird baths and this sort of thing and clean up the drainage.
So my question on this is, this site's already been developed.
That's correct. All that RV stuff you see on there and that pond is previously approved development. All
okay.
They're doing.
I apologize. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, item 7B is going to be the commercial office building that's shown on slide 72. This is basically construction that was done without the proper approvals. The county got wind of it, and they got red tagged by the fire marshal, and that triggered the need for them to come to us and do a proper plan. So this cleans up the site. It provides the requisite detention and perimeter swale to make this site compliant. The next site is the LPGPC final plat. You may recall we just discussed the 145-foot drainage easement on Coward Creek and the approval to let them encroach with the two modular units. This is the plat for the same piece of property. As you can see from sheet 75 in your packet, the requisite 145-foot drainage easement is shown on the plat. Item 7D is going to be the shops at Sedona. This is the acreage on the north side of the entrance to Sedona Lakes, next to the existing CVS pharmacy store. The previously approved drawings show that 5.29 acre feet of detention mitigation are provided for the overall 8.13 acres at the northeast corner of that intersection. 7E is for the Manville Town Center Wastewater Treatment Plant. This is within the proposed Manville Town Center at the northwest corner of 288 and Highway 6. Sheet 8 of those plans show that 58.18 acre feet of detention storage are provided for 57.6 acres of commercial development. That's an effective detention rate of 1.01 acre feet per acre. 7F is for the Charleston Ultimate Detention Project. Sheet 3 of those plans show that that development will provide a total of 109.6 acre feet of detention storage for 112.7 acres of development. That would be an effective detention rate of 0.97 acre feet per acre. 7G is the lift station and Phase 3 wastewater treatment plant for Pomona. This is all consistent with the previously approved master drainage plan for the Pomona development. Sheet C1 of the drainage plan shows that 5.0 acre feet of detention mitigation are provided within the Pomona development for the 7.7 acres of wastewater treatment plant. That's an effective rate of 0.65 acre feet per acre. 7H is going to be the detention to serve the surface water treatment plant. This is the proposed detention mitigation for the city's surface water treatment plant on either side of Mustang Bayou. C13 of those plans show that 17.07 acre feet of detention is provided for the surface water treatment plant on the other side of the bayou. 7I is for the Manville Town Center water plant. This again is part of the Manville Town Center development. As stated before, 102.71 acre feet of detention are provided for 100.7 acres of commercial development, which is an effective rate of 1.02 acre feet per acre. And then we have Moore Estates final plat that's shown on sheet 96 in your packet. You can see from that exhibit that the requisite 37.5 foot drainage easement is provided.
Item D, the shops of Sedona, they are providing their own detention. It's not in the Sedona Lakes detention. Is that correct?
The previously approved master plan for Sedona Lakes shows that the 5.29 acre feet of detention are provided within the Sedona Lakes development.
Okay. So they don't have to have detention.
That's
on
correct.
That side. Okay.
Can I ask a question? On item F, we're only approving that portion that is within the district.
Yes, Commissioner, on sheet 84.
What percentage of that is in the district?
So, for the benefit of Commissioner Rogers and others who are listening in, sheet 84 in the packet shows a long linear basin. That footprint of that basin more or less is entirely within DD4, and then everything that's west of that is outside of the district. So to answer your specific question, 10-15% of that overall development is within your jurisdiction.
And we're on the downside flow?
Correct. It comes
because
from...
Because all we've got is the detention system, right?
Correct. You have the detention system and the outfall both within your district. The other thing I'll say as a refresh is that this is all predominantly in Fort Bend County, and as a result of that, they've held them to the NOAA Atlas 14 detention requirements, and that's why that rate is quite a bit higher than your standard 0.65 acre feet per acre.
That answers my second question, which was, is the 1.04 on item I
well within our requirements.
That's the Manville Town Center. It's substantially more detention than your de facto minimum.
That's all I had to ask, Chairman.
Harrison, do you have any questions?
No, I've got everything answered before today.
Okay. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Gentlemen, at 10:46, I'll call for adjournment.
Very good meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I've been sitting here all day, I've been sitting